Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I hope you're having a phenomenal week. I know it's only Tuesday, but I tell you what, it's gorgeous down here. We've had just enough rain to start to make the grass green again. And I saw a couple today with their lovely child that had been out at the beach getting pictures, and it's just a great time to be alive. Now, you can tell by my voice, I'm still this red tide. You can look red tide up and understand what I'm talking about. But it really does cause some respiratory issues periodically. Nothing major. It's just you sound like you're worse than you really are. So please bear with me on here. If you're listening online, thank you, thank you. If you've called in, I appreciate all that. We're in Brian Thayer's book, The 1 Minute Networker. Powerful book. It's only 102 pages long, and that's if you look at everything. It's only 98 pages long if you just look at the content. And I love this because in 98 pages, Brian is able to express the 9 simple laws of networking. Now, I'm not talking about network marketing. I'm talking about networking, building your network. Today, we're in chapter 5, which is also law number 5, find them and file them. My good friend Bob Boudin, who wrote The Power of Who, him and Brian, I mean, literally, this is some pretty good eye-to-eye stuff, the way they articulate themselves and express what needs to be done. And this is good. He talks about Jim Lindell, a former accountant who networked his way to great wealth, recalls that early in his career, he was contemplating how to market a particular product that he'd acquired. Looking out the window of his hilltop house, Jim saw the neighborhood sprawled out below. Suddenly, he thought, wow, look at all the people who need this product, and that's just one neighborhood. Think how big this could be. See, I think a lot of times we don't think how big this could be. We don't anticipate how big this could be. We just see a little thing. Now, I'm going to do something different this week. I've been asked to do a 3-minute video on the one tip that can help people succeed. And when I thought of this story of Jim, I thought, that's it right there. Think big. See, if we think big, and I think too many times we don't because we've been slapped around, we don't even want to think at all sometimes. But if you were to open your eyes, all those people around you who need you, I'm not talking about your service. I'm not talking about your product. They need you in their lives. How would your life be different? How would you help other people's lives be different? Have you thought about that? I mean, that's pretty big when you think about it. How could your life be different? How would you change other people's lives if you just paid attention? Brian asks this question. He says, how many people have I walked past today and didn't even make eye contact? Think about that. Now, in different cultures, eye contact means different things. I grew up in a pretty rough and tumble community, society, really, because we lived in a way that is not totally normal to other people. I grew up in a pretty rough, family. Making eye contact and sticking to that eye contact was a dominance type deal. Brian shares a little bit as we walk through this. But he says a 1-minute networker knows that when opportunities knock, that you have to get off the couch and answer the door. It also doesn't hurt to open the door first, step outside, and invite the opportunity to come in. Now, that's pretty big in and of itself. See, too many times, I don't think we do this. I think what happens is we keep our head down and we don't pay attention. That's the funny thing about this. We walk down. We don't make that eye contact. We've been told by the media, oh, don't make eye contact, man. You might offend somebody. Or they might be mad. They might get road rage, whatever the case is. But think about this. If we were just to make eye contact, a little smile, something that I do, and it's really bizarre to people. And you know, some men don't do this anymore. They're afraid to. They're afraid that they'll be called sexual harassment or whatever. But, you know, when I see an attractive man or a woman, I have no problem saying, man, you really look sharp. Or, ma'am, that's you look beautiful. I don't know how many times I do that at Walmart. And almost every day when I see a lady, it doesn't matter if she's 100 or 5, I use I'll use a Miss so-and-so, how you doing? Or, hello, young lady, how are you doing? These are ways to connect. This is a connecting facet. But too many times I watch people. I mean, I am constantly watching people. And they don't make that eye contact. They let opportunity pass them by, I guess you could say. Now, how could we make that different? How could we sit there? I mean, think about this for a minute. How, as individuals, in your daily walk, the daily, whether it's internet, whether it's going into the store, walking through life, how can you make a difference? You know, my mom shared a story with me yesterday. And you know, I would have, matter of fact, I would own World Book Encyclopedia if I could write every story down that my mom had ever told me, because there'd be volumes of them. But she was sharing an experience she had yesterday. She'd bought a painting, and she buys all kinds of things when she sees it. Now, and don't get me wrong, she doesn't just go out and buy it. She overanalyzes sometimes and probably underanalyzes at others. But what she did was she decided to buy this painting. It was something that she liked. And in the process of buying it, there were some things in the frame that needed to be redone. So she was having it reframed at a local store. And the local store cut the painting. But because of her personal relationship with the lady that was working on this, I mean, my mom knew that the lady had gone through some financial woes, that her husband had owned a business, and because of the economy, things had gone south. The personal relationship that she had, my mom didn't get angry. My mom didn't get frustrated. This lady called and said, man, I apologize. This, you know, this is what happened. See, that's networking. My mom actually used to work at this store, so she understands some of their policies and procedures. But she networked. And see, that's what we have to do as individuals. We can't just sit back and say, I wish I could, I wish I could, I wish I could. It isn't going to work that way. But so many times, that's what happens. We go join a business, or we decide we want to launch a business, and we never talk about it. But at the same time, you can't just lead off with your business. You've got to have a true passion for people. You got to know that you got to talk with people. One of the things, and this is a weakness of mine, I will be introduced to somebody and I'll try my darndest to remember their name. And many times I don't, so lately I've been asking for a business card. But you know, people love to hear their name spoken. Now don't overdo it. One thing I hate is when somebody starts every paragraph with my first name. It's like, okay, don't try to pitch me on something. But let me know who you are, what you are, do that. Because that makes a difference. People want that. Matter of fact, I would suggest in networking, I'll tell a story here in a second. I got a good friend of mine this way, or who is not this way and should be, I should say. But when networking, you should actually, when introduced, and you're in a mixer of some kind, maybe you're at a public gathering or a church function or something, and you're meeting people, don't go up and just say, hey, my name's Troy Dooley, let me tell you about who I am. Excuse me. Start off with just, you know, hey, I'm Troy Dooley. What's your name? Hey, John, it's nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? Start asking them questions. Let them talk about themselves. Get to know them. This does two things. One, it lets them know you truly care. Two, it will brand their name into your brain. You will have experiences now that your brain can pull from. In my next newsletter, I'm going to be talking. Two different articles will be on manipulation and persuasion. And this is why I hate sales training as much as I do, is because it's no different than what we do when we're fighting terrorists. We just kind of dumb it down a little bit. And I don't I don't like that. I believe that if people are going to do business with me, it needs to be because of they trust and respect me, not because I manipulate them into cutting me a check. Huh. Although when I was 5 years old, standing on the front doors, or not five, I guess I was older than that, I was 12, standing on the front door, knocking on people's doors to sell Christmas cards, that might have been manipulation because it was freezing, snowing, and cold, but they did buy them. So maybe I'll re-knock. Anyway, you know, when you look at stuff like this, that's what it is. It's persuasion and manipulation. And Brian is so good at showing how it's about trust. It's about building that trust factor in an authentic way, not in a fake way to get something from somebody. You know, you need to make frequent eye contact with these people. Hi, my name's Troy. How are you doing? But don't just stare at them. You know, men have this, and I don't know, I guess women might too to some degree, but I'm not a female, so I don't know this. I know my wife and I admire other people. I mean, we're not jealous, and we got a great relationship, so I don't have a problem. But she says, man, that is one good-looking guy. Usually I can look and say, man, that is. But I see so many times people don't just admire the beauty in their human fellowship with people. What they end up doing is they gawk. They get a lustful or a sexual look. They watch their little butts swinging or their breast or whatever. Okay, that's not professional. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking the time to say, wow, I admire you. Wow, share with me a little bit about yourself. See, that's why sometimes the techniques that we talk about in cold calling or the techniques on the internet, that's great for a business per se, but if you don't build a trust factor with people, if you don't build a relationship with people, it's not going to work. I'll share an experience with you. I have a mentor of mine. He helped me in my early years in business. And he called me on the phone the other day and he said, I need to sell a position that I have in a company because I'm going to go partner with some people and launch a new company. Can you help me out? I said, yeah, give me an idea of what you're looking at. And we talked and chatted and he shared. And I said, you know what? I've got somebody I think that would work perfect for this, man. And I said, I don't know if they've got enough money to pay you everything that you want up front, but he knows what you're doing. He knows this niche. He understands it. I put the two of them together. Because I have trust with both of them from different facets. One of them had mentored me and I had mentored the other. I was able to put the two of these guys together. Within a matter of 5 days, they had cut a financial deal that would be beneficial for both of them. And within just a few hours of consummating that deal, my friend that I brought to my friend to buy the position had become the number one team in the company that was growing because he understood how to attract other people, all because of trust. We had built relationships with each other. At the end of the day, it's the trust factor. My good friend Richard Brook is also a good friend of Brian's. And Brian shares a little story about Richard in here that I think is beautiful. He says, one of my friends, Richard Brooke, has built several very profitable businesses and earned a fortune in his career. And he has. Richard is a multimillionaire. He owns a multimillionaire business, and he gives the credit to everybody around him. He's just the MLM cowboy is what I call him. He said, Richard is a tremendous networker because every person he meets becomes a unique individual to him. He keeps a record of the person's name, the context in which they meet, and the person's occupation, and who the person is, and what he does, and what he means to them. I know that for a fact. Richard and I met as business colleagues, and we have become personal friends. Richard knows that, or I know that Richard, when I go to him with any question, will give me a straight-up answer. Richard, on more than one occasion, is saying, Troy, I love what you do, but I know you're not making any money. You need to come to work with me. And I say, Richard, I love you, but I can't come to work with you because that would dilute my work. But at the same time, I go to him all the time with questions, with concepts, with stuff, and even personal. And he comes to me because we've built that personal relationship all through trust. See, that's what it's about. Richard didn't come to me first and say, come to my business. We became friends first, and then we started talking because he honestly cares about me and my family, and vice versa. I care about Richard and Chris and the team that he has. One day we will make money together. There's no doubt. Matter of fact, we do already to a certain degree because I send people to him and his company, and they're doing very well. But see, it's I can't drive this home enough. Success isn't about money. It isn't about manipulation. It isn't about persuasion. It isn't about sales. It's about moving products. Don't get me wrong there. But it's about a relationship. I think, matter of fact, Brian says it best here. He says, success isn't just a matter of who you know, but who you're willing to meet. Don't overlook the possibility that any or all of those individuals could bring a small miracle into your life. A small miracle. Now, let's not today get into the spiritual connotation of a miracle. Matter of fact, let's take the word miracle and kind of put it into a Hollywood scenario for a second. I think there was an old movie, The Miracle on 34th Street. And there wasn't really a miracle that took place. It was a change in attitude, a change of a worldview. When I thought about this as I read what Brian wrote, I thought, we bypass miracles every day in our lives. And I thought back to a miracle that happened in my life. Now, I got to admit, because of my spiritual worldview, I do believe this was God-ordained, so don't get me wrong on this aspect. But this was one of those things that is what makes romance movies. And it's one of those things that could have gone a different direction. And I've shared this before, so some of you say, oh, here he goes again. Well, I might. But here's the deal. I'm sitting in a bookstore of a friend. I've been doing some investigative work for her. She was launching a Christian bookstore. When my friend, Nick Wiseman, was asking me, who is the one woman in your life that you wish you had a second chance with? And I said, Paige. Didn't say her last name. And yet a girl across the store said, are you referring to Paige Winship? And that girl went and shared with Paige. Some wild dude in a bookstore. Long hair. Said he wished he had a second chance with her. Months later, not weeks, months. I'm sitting on a Sunday morning in church next to a hottie. A young sister of a friend of mine. Now she's at an age I can date her. She's not the little sister anymore. She's turned into quite a fine young lady. When Paige walks in and says, you want to go to a movie? And that little gal I was sitting by, who I never dated, didn't get a second chance with me. I've been with Paige ever since. That little lady, had we take this all the way back to the bookstore, had I not said, Paige, had Paige's friend not overheard it, if Paige's friend had not gone and told Paige, I'd have been sitting there that Sunday morning next to my friend's little sister who's grown into quite a little lady. The odds are we would have gone out. The odds are we might even have gotten married. It's a pretty good chance we'd be divorced, and I'd have never have gotten that opportunity. And when I look at the one-minute manager or the one-minute networker, and I look at the miracles that we bypass every day in our lives, because we don't open our mouth and talk to people, because we don't share what our thoughts are, because we don't go down the road and say, I want to make a difference in other people's lives, because we have this persuasive, manipulative agenda that we just want to close the deal. We just want to make more money. We just want to put money in the bank. Because of that, we fail. We don't have the success we want. I had a gentleman yesterday on my blog write a nasty comment. Troy, you're the reason I'm failing. I took your advice, and this company took me for a ride, so now I'm going to not take your advice, and I'm going to join this scam. That was basically the content of his comment. I laughed. I responded to him professionally. But inside, I'm thinking, this is the problem. You're blaming me for your actions instead of looking at yourself. And it was very easy to see that he didn't want to work hard to succeed because he'd only been with this other company for a very short time because they just launched. And he already quit looking for an easy deal, looking for, you know, $10 to make 90 deal, a lottery mentality. The question we got to ask is, do we have that lottery mentality? Do we really want to network, build relationships, grow something? Or do we want to go out there and spend $10 and scratch off a ticket? Nobody will know if we lose. See, that's what I don't understand. I think women get it better than men. See, women have this thing. They can get pissy at each other. They can be mad, but they love each other. They're like sisters from other mothers, I guess. And when one of them needs something, man, they try to be there for them. It's like, I remember, maybe it's my worldview, but I grew up, my dad was always working. Usually he worked nights, slept daytimes for many, many years. And I would hang out with my mom. You know, obviously, I was hanging out with my mom from day one, duh. But I'd carry her hostess bag at Tupperware. I learned all this stuff. She was in not a lot of companies, but success in all of them. And something that I always noticed is that when she'd make a phone call and say, "Hey, you know, I wanted to see if you wanted to host a Tupperware party. We got some pretty cool hostess gifts and I thought you'd like them." She never talked to people about join my business. She always said, "We got some hostess gifts. I think you would like them." "Oh, yeah, I can put a party together. We haven't done one in 6 or 8 months. Let's do that." It's amazing. Or when I got to be a teenager, and actually in the Marine Corps, and she started into her Mary Kay business and was flying that thing pretty good, it was humorous to me to see one of the techniques that she used, because she would do throughout the year. I mean, she'd buy the makeup. She was the epitome of Mary Kay. I mean, she was a glamour queen. I got glamour shots of my mom, and you know, Mary Kay had nothing on my mama. But about once a year, I think it was. Now, it may have been twice a year. She may have. I almost think I remember she did this at July, like July, Christmas in July or something. But she always did it in the fall. And you would go to her home, and all the things that she had bought throughout the year, cosmetics that had not been opened, perfumes, all that stuff, would be at her house, and she would do this open house. And these ladies would come into the house, and she always seemed to have it set up to where she could chat with them, and if they wanted to do a little facial or something, she could do that. But her whole goal was to sell, and that's what she'd do. She'd sell makeup. And it was wild. It's like, man, this really works. And not one time did my mom, that I overheard her anyway, try to spit down somebody's throat and say, "You got to join my business today or else." And her business grew, and it grew, and it grew. When she left direct sales from a network marketing standpoint and went to work at Lancome Cosmetics, I saw the same thing month after month. The success that she had was because she would take a personal interest. And women seem to do that. That's why I'm bringing this up. Women have this tendency where men don't. Men don't seem to network correctly. Now, they do if they're in organized crime or if they've been in the military and stuff like that. They network really good. But the typical average male doesn't network. Instead, They realize, man, I got to keep this to myself. I got to go build. I got to be one up on everybody else. This is corporate America. And the only time you see people networking is if they're a salesperson on the street, or they're in a brokerage or a real estate firm or something where they gotta eat dog world. And I believe we should be networking all the time. I don't believe in competition. I believe in completing each other. This is why here in our town, I really love it. Because one of the things that we have is we have these little associations that get together. We have a youth pastors association. We have a worship leader association. We have a pastors association. These guys work together with each other. They don't try to steal each other's people from their churches. They work together, and I think we should do that in every career that we have. We got to go out there. We've got to build. So let me ask you something as we shut down for the day. I want you to decide to meet 5 new people this week. Or maybe rekindle 5 old relationships. Now look, if you and your husband are having problems, don't go out there and try to rekindle a relationship with some old flame, okay? I'm talking about a real relationship. One of my school buddies had a birthday yesterday. His name's Greg Schwartz. And I reached out to Greg. Small comment. I wouldn't be the man I am today if it hadn't been for our friendship. Happy birthday, brother. And he took quite a bit of time last night. I actually think what happened was his daughter got on Facebook and said, "Dad, who's this Troy Dooley guy?" Because in his comment back to me, he said, "I'm not on Facebook a lot, but my daughter's trying to get me to be more active." It's like, aha. So everybody else was just writing, "Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday." But Greg made big impacts in my life. Some of them positive, some of them negative. I probably can guess, based on Greg's upbringing, that the skeletons in his closet are still there. He probably keeps his door closed, and I'm not going to share them. But he made a big impact in my life. Contact somebody today that's made an impact in your life. Let them know how much you mean to them or how much they mean to you, whichever the case is. Let them know that you care. Don't try to get something from them. I've got another friend of mine. He wrote me last night on Facebook, and he said, "I'm getting ready to open up a brand new contest to find the next great trainer in network marketing. I would love for you to be a part of this contest. You have helped me so much." And he's very successful, far more successful than I am. And I thought, man, what a blessing in my life. That was pretty cool. So folks, hang out. It's a blast. This is what it's about, is networking, having fun on the radio, talking. You know, if I can be of service, please reach out to me. Tomorrow, law number 6, top of the mind. Now, that ought to be an interesting one. You'll have to tune in to find out. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning with me for RealMentorsRadio.com. Bye now.